Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and verse 16. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Ruth was from the land of Moab, a neighboring country with Israel. She had married into the family that we read about, Elimelech, his family, who were from the land of Judah in Israel. They had come to Moab because of the famine back home. But then the father Elimelech dies, and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married women of Moab. And Ruth was one of them. She was married to Mahlon, and Orpah was married to Chilion. Then we read that the two sons died, and Naomi and her two daughters-in-law were left alone. And then it was reported that the famine was over in Judah. The Lord, we read, had visited his people in giving them bread. The question was, would Naomi stay in Moab or go back to Bethlehem? Of course she would go back to Bethlehem. She would not stay a moment longer in that heathen land. Another question was, would her two daughters-in-law go with her? Well, we read that they accompanied Naomi for some of the way. But then Naomi says to them, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you." It might seem strange that Naomi was trying to persuade her daughters-in-law to not go with her into Judah, but go back to Moab. What do we make of this? Well, undoubtedly, she would want them to embrace the true religion. She would want them to serve the God of Israel. But she would not have them do so for her sake. She would have them make their own choice. And further, she perhaps considered that they may be influenced by hopes that could not be realized in the land of Judah, and they might take a step that they would afterward regret. But more than that, she knew, Naomi knew, that their conversion to the true religion would be thoroughly tested. And when she seemed to persuade them to go back, it's like she was really telling them to count the cost. It was like the Lord Jesus when someone came to him and said, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." This man was confident. He would follow the Lord Jesus in all difficulties. He would go on with Christ all the way. The Lord Jesus replied to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Will this man follow him whithersoever he goeth?" It is good for us to know that through much tribulation, God's people will enter into the kingdom. Well, what was the effect of this apparent discouragement? Well, we read that Orpah went back. she kissed her mother-in-law and turned back to Moab. And how sad it is, friends, to know the truth and to turn back from it. Turning back from the truth is not the intention when we are told to count the cost. We're not told that there will be obstacles and that we will meet with difficulty, so that we will throw up our hands and say, oh well, salvation must not be worth it. Salvation is worth everything. And we are told about the difficulties so that we will seek grace and preparation for it, and to continue and strive and persevere. So Naomi, seeing Orpah goes back, speaks to Ruth again. And she says, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And it seems that Naomi knew that to go back to Moab would be to go back to Moab's gods, the idols of that heathen nation. Was that Ruth's desire? Of course not. We know that she said with determination, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. It was like Naomi's speaking to Ruth about going back, and turning back from following her and go back to Moab. It was like someone having a bag of treasure in his hand and another person trying to pull it away. And what does that do? It just makes the man hold the treasure all the more tightly. So Naomi's trying to discourage Ruth was making Ruth all the more resolute, all the more determined to follow on to know the Lord, to follow Naomi into the land of Israel. We read that Ruth clave to her, and Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. She was determined. Well, Ruth clearly was detached from her old way of life. She was leaving Moab. We see her deep devotion in wanting to serve the living and true God. And we see her steadfast determination in the face of opposition. And all of this indicates the mind of one who has left behind the former ways of sin, and who is determined to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. And that is the evidence of a work of grace. This cleaving to the Lord and turning our back on sin is the result of a supernatural power that we were hearing about this morning. The Ephesians believed in Christ according to the working of God's mighty power. And God's mighty power was becoming manifest in the heart and life of Ruth when she was detached from her old ways and Moab she was leaving behind. She was devoted to God, devoted to God's people, and she was determined to persevere in the face of opposition. And it is these three things that we would like to consider tonight, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, so that we might examine ourselves whether we have the detachment from sin that Ruth had, and the devotedness to God that Ruth had, and the determined desire to persevere that Ruth had, so that if we do, we might conclude rightly that we ourselves have been the subjects of a work of grace in our hearts. So these 3 points tonight. Ruth was detached from sin. Ruth was devoted to God. And Ruth was determined to persevere. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Well, with the Lord's help, first of all, Ruth's detachment. She was detached from sin. She was one who departed from iniquity. We see that when we read that she was willing to leave her own country behind. What an amazing circumstance. We know there are some who have left their own country behind, but it's not every day that that takes place. Ruth was determined to cleave to Naomi and depart from her own country because of the true religion. And we can ask ourselves, would we be willing to do that? If there were no sound ministry in the place where we lived, there were not the means of grace, none of the Lord's people, no red sermons, would we be willing to migrate to another location in order to be at the means of grace, to be at the place where the name of God was proclaimed? Furthermore, Ruth was willing to leave even her family behind. And she had married into the family of Elimelech, that is true, but she, now that her husband had passed away, she could go back to her own family in Moab. But no, she did not do that. The true religion was far more important to her than even her father and mother. She could have considered that if she had stayed behind in Moab, then her family, being godless, would be an ill example to her. She would not be at the means of grace, and she would be greatly hindered in her spiritual life. It was not easy, surely, to leave behind her family, because what do we read of Orpah? She went back. It must have been a great thing to leave one's family behind. Well, not only did Ruth leave her family behind, she left her former conduct. And we know that the heathen lands and their false religions condoned immorality, and that there was doubtless temptation all around. And to remain in Moab would expose one to great temptation to lead a life of sin. And this is what Ruth was detached from. She was leaving behind. And she was saying to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. To go back to Moab was intolerable to her. And we should ask ourselves, are we departing from sin? Is it our desire to be detached from sin? When we are tempted to sin, and we will be tempted, we will be exposed to temptation as long as we are in this world. As Mr. McDonald was saying, that we live in a big city. Paul preached to big cities, Corinth and others. We live in Auckland, and there is much sin surrounding us. So we will be tempted, but the question is, are we going to be entangled in the temptation? And are we crying to God that He would keep us from falling into sin? Or is our attitude this, that, well, I was tempted, and I was in that situation, I couldn't help it, and there you are, I sinned, I fell. Well, that kind of attitude is no evidence of grace. We are to be detached from sin in our attitude and have a desire to depart from iniquity. Well, Ruth was also leaving her gods behind. Chemosh was the idol of Moab, and no doubt Ruth would have been brought up in that false religion and could have thought that it would be difficult to leave behind all the memories that she had grown up with, to go into another land, and she could have these circumstances could have played on her emotions. To leave Moab behind and all the ceremonies that I was used to, this is too difficult. But no, she was willing to leave her idols behind. Now, you and I may never have bowed before a statue, may never have engaged in any kind of false religious ceremony. But as you've heard before, there may be idols in our hearts. Ezekiel warned the people that he preached to about the idols that they had set up in their hearts. And what are we falling down before in our affections? What are we giving our hearts to? The apostle says, set your affections on things above. Are we cleaving to the dust? Are we worshiping money or our car or our family? Well, again, Ruth was willing to leave her family behind if it came to compromising with sin and forsaking the true religion. She did not desire to do that. She was departing from sin, giving up idols, giving up situations in which she was forced to compromise. And going back to that point, the Savior has told us in His Word about how we need to give place to Him, give our preference to Him above all. He looked at the multitudes. There were great multitudes following Him. And He turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, the emotion of hatred is not what is meant. No one is called upon to hate another person in that kind of way. But what we are called upon to do, what the Lord Jesus requires, is that we are to give Him first place in our lives. And no one can be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus if they give to their family, to their loved one, or to anything, anybody, anything, a preference above Christ in the affections of their heart. So, if our family is calling upon us to compromise, we have to give up that connection at that point, at least, and give our allegiance to the Lord. We need to be like David, who said, I hate every false way. He was not going to compromise. He hated every false way. Ruth was detached from sin, detached in literal ways from her own country, from her previous way of life. And we should ask ourselves, are we detached from sin in our attitude, in our desires? The apostle says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, everyone who is going to call himself or herself a Christian, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It must be our desire and endeavor to depart from sin. Again, let us reflect and ask ourselves, are we like Ruth? in this way, leaving the land of our nativity, spiritually so. She was leaving Moab. Have we left the kingdom of Satan? Have we been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Are we departing from the kingdom of Satan? Have we been convinced of our sin, that we are sinners? Are we persuaded of that truth? I'm a sinner, I deserve the wrath and curse of God, and this has led me to cry out to the Lord for mercy, like the publican who smote upon himself saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, I feel I'm a sinner, I feel like I'm the only sinner, because that's how much the guilt has arisen before mine eyes. It's as if there's no other sinner, as if there ever was a sinner. The publican was saying, I am that sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But further, have we been enlightened in our minds in the knowledge of Christ? Have we begun to see the preciousness of Christ? As we heard recently, it comes down to this, really. What think ye of Christ? What does he mean to you? When you think of Christ, what do you think of Christ? Are you attracted to him? Are you drawn to him? Well, that is involved in the effectual call. When God works in the heart of a sinner by his Spirit, by his grace, he is convincing them of their sin and what they deserve, and enlightening their minds in the knowledge of Christ. They begin to see his preciousness, his suitability to their need. You're a sinner. He's a Savior. You have broken God's commandments. He has kept God's commandments. You deserve God's wrath. He endured God's wrath. Here is a Savior who is a suitable Savior, one who is exactly adapted to your need as a sinner on the way to eternity. A suitable Savior. Do you see that? And are you drawn to him as one who can exactly meet your need? Are you drawn to him? And is this desire toward Christ drawing you out to say, entreat me not to leave thee? When the Lord in his word says, will you also go away? Many are departing from God. And he asks you tonight, will you go away? Will you go the broad way that leads to destruction? What is your response? Are you like Peter saying, Lord, to whom shall I go? There is no other one that I can go to. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And so on. And if this is your attitude, your desire and endeavor, it looks like you also have Ruth's devotion. So we consider this in the second place, that Ruth was devoted. Thy God shall be my God, and thy people shall be my people. Naomi would have instructed Ruth and Orpah in the true religion. She would have taught her daughters-in-law about the ways of the Lord, the God of Israel, who delivered his people from bondage in Egypt and led them through the Red Sea on dry ground, led them through the wilderness, gave them victory over their enemies in Canaan, in the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, and gave them deliverance. And Naomi would have taught Ruth and Orpah about the living and true God. And that there is one God. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And all of this would have had an impact by grace upon Ruth. And now we hear her saying, Thy God, yes, you have taught me about your God, You have taught me about God giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. You have taught me about the ceremonies that have pointed to the Messiah. You have taught me about the promises of God. Thy God, Naomi, shall be my God. I believe what you have taught me. I believe that there is no other God. Furthermore, your God will be my God, and I will serve him. And Ruth was trusting in God. Boaz later on says to her that everything has been told me about you, how you left your mother and father back in the land you were brought up in, and you are come to a people which you did not know before. And Boaz is saying to Ruth, the Lord reward you. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So Ruth was actually trusting in God. And of course, it cannot be said that we worship God as our own God without trusting in him. Because part of worship involves trust, seeking refuge in God. And she was looking to God, and there was a reward to be given her. And how can that be, you say? We do not earn salvation. That is true. We do not bring our good works to God and receive a reward of merit, a reward of debt. God does not owe us anything. It's a reward of grace that is spoken of here. She was saved by grace, and her desires to serve God were by grace. And to encourage God's people, he promises them a reward of grace. It's all of grace. And the reward that is promised, that peace with God and future glory and blessedness, are all to draw believers, to encourage obedience. So we are not saved by our works. God gives us the grace to believe in him, gives us the grace to love him, gives us the grace to trust in him and to serve him, and he encourages more obedience by the reward of grace. Well, it's like parents who have children and have set aside a lot of money for them in the bank account. It's all a gift. The children haven't earned it at all. But to encourage the children's obedience, every once in a while they will get a little bit of money out of their bank account and give it to them to reward their obedience. But they didn't earn it. It was already given to them. And that's the way it is with the reward of grace. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. Ruth was helping her mother-in-law, and Ruth was trusting in God. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Yes, Ruth was looking to the God of Israel, trusting in him for everything, trusting in him to provide. And indeed, we read that the Lord visited his people in giving them bread. The Lord cares for his people with temporal provisions as well as spiritual benefits. David in Psalm 16 was trusting in God. He begins by saying, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And he blessed the Lord and praised him. And he says that the Lord is his portion. And he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. God was providing for David in everything that he needed. The Lord himself was David's portion, David's reward. If God is our God, if we are like Ruth saying, "Thy God shall be my God," God will be to us all. God will be to us our reward. Our reward is God Himself. "Fear not, Abram," says God to Abraham, "for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Are you like Jeremiah who said, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I trust in Him"? So Ruth was cleaving to Naomi, and in doing so, as she certainly professed, she was cleaving to the Lord, "Thy God shall be my God." Perhaps you are asking, what is it to have God to be our God? What is it to serve God, to call God my God? Well, surely it involves this, to follow the ways of God. And that's what Ruth was doing. It's illustrated at least by this. She says, "Entreat me not to leave thee." She says, "For whither thou goest, I will go. Wherever you go, Naomi, I will go with you." She knew that Naomi was a godly woman, and she would follow Naomi whithersoever she went. So, it's like David in Psalm 119, verse 128, we sang it there, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Ruth was detached from false ways, and she was cleaving to the Lord and His ways. And if we ourselves are not following the ways of God, then our sincerity in our devotion is suspect. We can hear Ruth saying, "Whithersoever thou goest, I will go. Is it required of me to submit to the ceremonies? Then, whither thou goest, I will go. Do we need to keep the Passover? Then, I will do that. Do we need to offer up sacrifices? Do we need to keep the feast days as they had to do in those days? Whither thou goest, I will go," following the ways of God. Naomi, the name Naomi means pleasant. And basically Ruth was saying, "The ways that you take, Naomi, will be pleasant ways to me." As we read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 17, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." The ways of the Lord are pleasant ways to the children of God. The Apostle John says, "His commandments are not grievous." Following God's ways is not an irksome thing to those who have grace in their souls. They want to serve God. What grieves them is the old man, the old principle of sin that remains in their souls, and that is what they find irksome. But they are like Paul. At times, at least, they can say, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Do we delight in God's ways? Do we have a desire to obey God? Do we grieve when we see our failings? Do we mourn over our sins? Do we mourn over the opposition we feel in our souls to the ways of God? Does that grieve us? We try to come as low as we can, to try to discern a work of grace in our hearts. When we feel opposition to the ways of God, when we feel sin stirring up within us and saying, "I don't want to do that," does that make us sad when we see that? Well, it will make the child of God sad. And if there is that loathing ourselves because of sin that we find in our hearts and opposition to the ways of God, then that self-loathing is the result of a divine operation. When there is sorrow, godly sorrow, over sin. Well, this attitude of cleaving to the Lord, being devoted to God, devoted to His ways, is the evidence of grace. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whatever God will have me to do, I will do it. Wherever he will have me to work, there I will work. Wherever he will have me to live, there I will live. Whatever God would have me to do, like Paul the Apostle, when he was converted, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That is the attitude that we need. And that is the attitude that is the evidence of a work of grace. As we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 4, speaking of God's people, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. There it is. These are they which follow the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, whithersoever he goeth. But not only was Ruth following the God of Israel, thy God shall be my God. Before that, we read, she was saying, thy people shall be my people. And Ruth was devoted to the Lord's people. Naomi would have told Ruth about the God of Israel protecting his people, delivering them from the Canaanites, delivering them from the Egyptians, delivering them from the Amalekites, providing manna in the desert, the quails, the water that gushed from the rock that followed them in the desert. And Ruth must have been thinking, well, this must be a blessed people. Naomi probably was saying, come thou with us and we will do thee good. At least that was coming out in her attitude when she spoke of these things. And Ruth was probably ready to exclaim, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The name Ruth, some have said, perhaps comes from a word meaning friend. Ruth, meaning friend. And what a friend Ruth was to Naomi. What a friend Ruth was to Naomi's people. She was the friend of God's people. Thy people shall be my people. She was ready to cast in her lot with them. Are they a poor people? Naomi says something to this effect, well, if you come back with me, I went out full. I'm empty now. I'm poor. You come with me, you'll be in impoverished conditions. No matter. Are they a poor people? Thy people shall be my people. I will follow you, Naomi. And even if they are despised people, thy people shall be my people. In other words, Ruth was not just going to receive the blessings. She would be ready to partake of the afflictions of God's people. What about ourselves? Are we like that? Do we love God's people? It might be very easy to like some of them. They are respectable people. They should be. They are honest people. And they can be very nice people. And people in the world will be attracted to them because of these qualities. But do we go further than that? Are we like Ruth saying, thy people shall be my people because they are the Lord's people? And even if they are a poor people, I will be with them. I'm not ashamed to be among them. Even if they are despised by the world, if they are ridiculed for the way they live their lives, thy people shall be my people. Is this our attitude? And if we had the choice of being with worldly people or with God's people, who would we like to be with? Are we like Peter and John? We read that after they were brought before the authorities and they were questioned and instructed, then they were released. And when they were released, they went to their own company. They went to those who were like them, God's people, their own company, their people. Are we like that? When we are released, for example, from work or from university or school or whatever, when the day is over, we're released from our duties, are we ready to hang around with worldly friends? Or do we want to go with God's people in general? That's where we would like to be. What is our attitude towards God's people? Are we like Moses, who was giving up the treasures and pleasures of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Do we sympathize with God's people, or do we weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice? Do we feel a solidarity with God's people? Do we feel one of them in point of attitude and ownership to whom we belong? Do we feel that we belong to them? Do we love them? Are we saying with Ruth, "Thy people shall be my people"? We know, says John, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And if we are prepared to cleave to God and His ways and ready to keep up with God's people, even in their plight, to stay with them, even when they are afflicted, like Moses, then we also have Ruth's determination. So this in the third place. Ruth was determined. She was detached from sin. She was devoted to God, His ways, and His people. And she was determined to persevere to the very end. We read that Naomi saw that. She saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her. And the margin says she strengthened herself. Ruth was strong. And in her determination, perhaps she didn't feel strong. But what came out was the strength of her will. She was going to cleave to the Lord. That's not saying she feels strong, but she was strong. She was determined, resolute. She was ready to persevere. Nothing was going to dissuade her. Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't tell me to go back. That's unbearable to me. I'm going to follow you to the God, to the land of Israel, and cleave to the God of Israel. Yes, Ruth had that full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience that we know is an element of repentance, a full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience to God. So Ruth was determined in spite of a bad example. Orpah was going back, her own sister-in-law. And is Ruth going to follow this bad example? No, it's not easy to resist the harmful influences of bad examples all around us. It's easy to follow a multitude to do evil, but thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, God says to us through Moses. We're to follow God, the straight and narrow way. So those who have grace, that is God's people, are going against the current. And this is what we are directed to do, to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Further, she was determined even when one of her own people, that is Naomi, was apparently discouraging her. Sometimes even God's people may not be the best influence to those who are seeking the Lord. A sad thing indeed. It may be their apparent indifference or apparent lukewarmness. It seems that they are not very determined. That can discourage someone who is earnestly seeking the Lord. Here are the Lord's people. Why are they not as devoted and determined as we thought they should be? Well, doesn't that tell every one of us that we should be a good example for others? We should give expression to that devotedness to the ways of God and show earnestness in the ways of the Lord. And then, so that is seen, Ruth is determined even when Naomi is dissuading her. Sometimes, it can be the Lord's people are trying them, like Joshua, who said, on the one hand, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," but then he also says, "You cannot serve the Lord." I think he was testing them. It's too difficult for you. And this stirs up the people to say, no, we will serve the Lord. So these are tests that come in the way of those who are seeking the Lord. And these tests should be looked at as trials and tests, and it should encourage them and stir them up to seek the Lord all the more and cleave to the Lord in spite of obstacles, determined to the end. Sometimes it may be God Himself who is giving an apparent discouragement. And Job had the attitude of perseverance. Though He slay me, though I'm so afflicted, it's almost as if I'm at the point of death. But though the Lord should slay me, yet I will trust in Him. Are we like that? Yes, we're discouraged, we're weak, we're surrounded by dangers, difficulties, duties, the burdens are heaped upon our back. Are we going to give up? No, though He slay me, I've got nowhere else to go to. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. That is the attitude we need, and that is the attitude Ruth had. Entreat me not to leave thee. And even though she would be faced with hardship, she says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. It may be a poor lodge. A poor lodging, Naomi would tell Ruth. No matter. I will follow you and I will cleave to God and His ways. Well, that can be a real test sometimes. For example, a man has a small business and then the economy goes sour and he goes bankrupt. And he says, well, is this what Christianity does for me? And he walks away from the true religion. The Lord is trying those who profess to be His people. Will we cleave to the Lord to the very end? Ruth did. And she professed to do that. She had the desire to do that. She was determined. She says, verse 17, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. What does that mean? She's saying that even though Naomi was old and she was going to die likely years before Ruth would, yet wherever Naomi died and would be buried, years down the line, Ruth was going to be buried there as well. In other words, she was determined, even after Naomi died, to cleave to the ways of the Lord, to go on to the very end, even to death. In other words, she was determined for life. She was going to persevere to the end, all the way through, throughout her life. That is the determination she had. And furthermore, it wasn't as if she was going to wait till death and die. The death of the righteous, she wasn't going to wait till she was on her deathbed and seek the Lord. She wasn't going to delay obeying God till she was old. She was following even now. She was a young woman. And she had sought the Lord early. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, those that seek me early shall find me. Sometimes you hear people say, well, don't get so serious just yet. Do some traveling. Enjoy life while you're young because you're going to get old fast. Now, I ask you a question. Can you show me in the Bible where that attitude is? It's not a spiritual attitude. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let's give ourselves to the Lord early. That should be the attitude. Seek grace to do so. Yes, we need grace. We need to look to God as our helper and trust under the shadow of His wings and have the spirit of the psalmist in Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And Ruth finally shows her determination when she says, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She was putting herself under oath, even putting herself under a curse. If I do not follow you, Naomi, if I do not follow your God and His ways, then I bring the condemnation of God upon me. The Lord do so to me, and even more, if I don't follow you. Well, are we ready, as it were, to swear allegiance to God, as David did in Psalm 132? He vowed to the mighty God of Jacob. He swore unto the Lord, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, and so on. He was going to give himself to the Lord in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. There is a vowing to God. There is an engagement to be His, to belong to Him and to serve Him and to renounce and resist the world and the flesh and the devil and to devote ourselves to God. And this comes to expression in the vow that is in baptism and the Lord's Supper, to be entirely and only the Lord's. And marriage also involves a vow, taking vows to be devoted to one another for life, even until death. And that's a good thing, and something that all married couples should be reminding themselves of. And let us be looking beyond that to the spiritual marriage, that we would seek union with Christ and be determined to cleave to Him until death. Be determined to the end. Be thou faithful unto death, He tells us, and I will give thee a crown of life. Well, finally, are we detached from sin? Are we devoted to God? Are we determined to the end? If we are, well, we have the evidence of a work of grace. We have the evidence of the exceeding greatness of God's power that has been exerted in our hearts. And we are believing in Christ according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. This detachment and devotion and determination are the fruits of faith. We are saved by faith in Christ, looking to Him alone for salvation. We are not saved on account of our detachment and devotion and determination, but these are the evidences. These are the accompaniments of faith. They accompany faith where it is. They are the fruits of faith. And we know faith exists when there are the fruits of it. Don't conclude you're saved if there's no evidence. Are we saved or are we not? Well, show me the evidence. Of course. And the evidence of the existence of faith in Christ is this detachment from sin, devotion to God, and determination to the end. Some people are weak and they feel strong. Others are strong, although they feel weak. And you may be feeling very weak. And further, you may not be much assured of your good state, that you have a work of grace, that you are a child of God. You may not be assured of that. But do you have these three things? Detachment, devotion, determination. Then you are strong. Seeking, and nothing is going to stop you until you find Christ. That's strong. So be encouraged, and do not stop till you find Him, till the Lord speaks to you and gives you peace in your soul, and you find Him. But there are those who feel strong, and they feel secure, but they may be in a very dangerous condition. It could be carnal security. And if such who have called themselves Christians are not devoted like Ruth and determined like Ruth, but they're not like that, they should be alarmed, not secure. The Lord does not give comfort while there is contentment with a backslidden condition. such should confess their sin, confess their backsliding, forsake their sin, and be determined to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. Is there no experience in your case like that of Ruth? No detachment from sin, not really. Not being devoted to God, really. Not being determined at all to follow God. Well then, friend, be concerned, be alarmed, and let this concern and alarm stir you up and drive you to seek Christ and flee to the refuge and flee to the Savior who has arms held out wide, ready to receive you. He is waiting to be gracious. This man receiveth sinners. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Rest upon the Savior for salvation. Rely upon the one foundation. Say to Him, Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, save me. Lord, I trust in Thee. Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. And look to Christ for strength. Do you have the desire to follow the ways of God, but you feel no ability? You feel, how can I do it? You look to the Lord for strength. Look to Him as your perfect example, the one who loved righteousness and hated wickedness, the one who was devoted to God, who said, I delight to do Thy will, O my God, yea, Thy laws within my heart. Rest upon His righteousness for salvation. Look to Him for a complete salvation and the grace to enable you. Look to His example and behold Him, because part of getting strength from Him is by looking to Him and seeing His example, abiding in Him, contemplating Him, beholding Him as He is revealed in His Word. Think about what He did, and in that thinking process and depending upon Him, we get the grace we receive from Him to do His will. Behold Him and be like Him. That's the lesson we can learn just now. Looking to Jesus, that we might have grace. Looking to Him who was devoted to God, praying while it was yet early. And then with zeal overthrowing the tables of the money changers in the temple. With desire, He desired to eat the Passover with His disciples. His people were belonged to Him. And He was determined even at an early age. He said to His earthly parents, wist ye not, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Even though Peter tried to discourage Him from continuing with the work, get thee behind me, Satan. The Savior was determined. He set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Well, He is our perfect example. And through Him we will get strength. And we, through His crucifixion, through the Son of God dying in our place, we will see a crucifixion in our souls. The old man, the sin that keeps us back, we will see that crucified. Our old man crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, but serve the Lord. And then, in heaven, God's people will be perfectly detached from sin, perfectly devoted to Christ. And in the meantime, these words of Ruth should be the utterances of our hearts. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. May He bless His word. Let us pray.